I would just note that
guys, let's go.
If you're sitting in the back and you're checking your stocks in order to donate to the kol, that's fine. As long as it's for a good reason. Good morning. So I understand that there's time set aside for preparation for this year. That being said, I know it was a little bit cut short, and that's it's quite all right. We'll try to spell out a whole bunch of the concepts. We'll try to make sure that we don't skip any steps. And if we have to go the same length but miss on some of the details at the end, that's okay also, as long as we understand what we're learning together. So it shouldn't be a problem that we got cut short in the preparation. So when it comes to Hilchos Tzedaka, I was asked to speak specifically about Hilchos Tzedaka. You'll hear more about that later. We tend to throw around a whole bunch of numbers, fractions, percentages. We often lose track, though, of what the significance of those numbers, fractions, and percentages really are. For example, the most common phrase when it comes to Hilchos Tzedaka, people throw around the idea of Maaser or Maaser Ksafim. A tenth, tithing your money, 10% of what the person gains should be dedicated to tzedakah. How to allocate, how much you calculate, what do taxes count, do tuition count, those are the details, but that's the term that we're familiar with is the idea of Maaser Ksafim. So that we're all familiar with. That being said, we tend to think of that as a minimum shiur. You have to give at least that. That's sort of the basic shiur. That's not true. And it's also not a maximum. It's also probably not a din d'oraisa. Maaser ksafim is a minug. It's an important minug. It's a minug Yisrael for many generations. But there are halachic ramifications to knowing the status of every halacha. And maaser ksafim is a minug, and therefore there are nafkaminas lehalacha about that. Again, it's not a minimum or a maximum. If you want to talk about a minimum tzedakah, if anyone here wants to give the least amount of a tzedakah as possible, so the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us on Daf Tes or so, the Gemara says that if a person la'olam al yimna adam atmo militin shlishas ha-shekel, a person should never give less than a third of a shekel. It doesn't mean a contemporary shekel. There's a lot to talk about here in terms of calculations, but it basically comes out, depending on which sefer you're using and which calculator you're plugging it into, it comes out to a difference between something in the range of $4 to $7.50, $8 a year of tzedakah is quite enough in terms of the minimum of tzedakah. So if we want to talk about minimums, that's your minimum. Hopefully none of us are sticking by that minimum, but that is true. You put a penny in the pushka, a penny wouldn't get you there, but a couple of cents in the pushka, in the tzedakah box every day, you'll get to your minimum. Maaser ksafim is not a minimum, nor is it a maximum. One rarely hears, you know, you hear about a 10%, you hear about a 20%, you hear about a minimum, maximum. You rarely hear the term shishim, a 60th thrown around Hilchos Tzedakah. 60th, batel b'shishim, is a term we know from Hilchos Kashrus. You drop a tiny bit of milk into your cholent, or whatever you guys eat, I don't know, tadi. You drop a bit of milk into your tadi, so it's batel b'shishim, or it's the same cholent just with an egg. So you drop, if an Ashkenazi accidentally drops an egg into a cholent, like you guys, but if there's 60 times the amount of cholent, the egg disappears. You don't hear that in Hilchos Tzedakah. There's no shear of a 60th. There's one interesting maisa, one interesting story. There was a big Talmud Chacham who lived in Galicia, Rav Meir Shapira. Meir Shapira started the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. He's more famous currently for starting something else. The Daf Yomi movement, that was him, Rav Meir Shapira. So Rav Meir Shapira used to go around fundraising for his yeshiva. He had to raise money to support the yeshiva, Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. Some of you may have taken trips to Europe and seen the yeshiva. It's a sad thing to see. It's a sight to behold. It's a sad thing to see what's happened to it, how the Nazis used it during the war, and since then how it's used. But Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin was L'shem L'sefaris. It was a beautiful yeshiva. It took a lot to get into it, and it took a lot to fund it, so we would go around the country, around the continent, fundraising. So one time he went to a specific gvir, a very wealthy individual, and he knocked on the door, and the gvir opened the door, and he said, "What are you doing here? Why are you here?" Now, just for some background, this gvir, this wealthy person, was known by everyone as being a miser, a stingy person. He hoarded all of his wealth and never gave it to any tzedakah, much less a yeshiva. He would never support a yeshiva's money. He held on to his money. He never gave it to anyone else. So why in the world was Rav Meir Shapira knocking on his door? The gvir asked himself, the wealthy man said, "What are you doing here? I don't give money to tzedakah. I know you're here for your yeshiva. You're not going to get a penny out of me." So Rav Meir Shapira said, "I'm here to be mevaker cholim. I'm here to do Bikur Cholim." He said, "Bikur Cholim, I'm feeling fine. What are you talking about?" He said, "No, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says in Koheles, Yesh ra'a chola ra'isi tachas ha-shemesh. There's one disease. There's one sickness that I've seen under the sun. Osher shamar labaylov l'ra'aso. The type of person who's so rich that he's holding on to all his money for his own demise, meaning a person who holds back his money and doesn't give it to the poor people, he's a chole. He's a sick person. You're a chole nefesh. I'm here to visit you. I'm here to do Bikur Cholim." So the gvir wasn't fazed. He must have been a really arrogant guy. He said, "Yeah, but there's a lot of other cholim in the hospital, laying in bed over there that are sick. So why don't you go visit them?" So Meir Shapira said, "You're right. I could have gone to a hospital and visited all the sick people in the beds over there. That's true. But we know Chazal tell us that when a person does the mitzvah, the beautiful mitzvah of Bikur Cholam, and visits someone who's ill, one of the advantages, or for the ill person, one of the healing effects, is that the visitor takes upon himself, he's notel, he takes upon himself a 60th of the sickness. He said, why should I go to a hospital, take on a shishim of a cancer, a shtickle of cold, a shtickle of COVID? Why don't I come to your house and take a 60th of your sickness? With a 60th of your wealth, I can support my entire yeshiva. So I can't do mevaker you specifically. So a 60th could also be a shir when it comes to l'chastaka. It's not commonly quoted in the poskim, obviously. First of all, Meir Shapira actually didn't get fired because it wasn't a gvir that was donating to his. You wouldn't talk to that if he was already donating. But someone he knew he wasn't getting money out of anyway, so he talked to him a little bit more sharply. So a 60th is not really classically used in the areas of l'chastaka, but you see at least in that case that is true. A time like this that we're holding in right now, the way the world is, I don't think we know the end of the story. I don't know. The way the world is right now, I don't think anyone's asking a shayla. No one's calling the rabbi and saying, Rabbi, what's the minimum amount of tzedakah to give? We're living in a time in Jewish history where people are asking about maximums. We're overextending in order to support the war effort, Yachad and Atzeach behind me, in order to help our Jewish brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael who are displaced, who are struggling, who are sad, who are despondent, who have lost relatives. We're looking for ways to help. And somehow, some way, we're supposed to balance all of that dire need and take care still of our national and international institutions that are involved in Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim here in LA, across America, and across the world. We're somehow struggling to find how do we stretch? How do we extend ourselves? How do we give more money to more places without overextending, without going past some sort of maximum? Does the halacha define a maximum? Is there some effort that we're not allowed to go past? When it comes to chastaka, nobody here wants to know about minimums right now. We want to know how far we're supposed to push ourselves. So, with that in mind, let's discuss that very interesting, very halacha maisa, very practical, and very fundamental halacha of whether and what the maximum might be when it comes to Hilchos Tzedakah. You look in source number one, you have a Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Mem Tes in Hilchos Tzedakah in Yardaya, the Mechaber tells us that ideally, we mentioned these ideas before, a person, if a poor person knocks on your door, you should give him as much money as he needs. Dei machsoro, give the guy as much money as he can need to support himself, to live a respectable life at his level of respect. You should give him as much money as possible. Not all of us can do that. A guy knocks on my door and he wants to make a chasna. I don't have enough money to make a chasna. No matter where he's making the chasna, I don't have enough money to make a chasna. So I give him what I can give him. So what does that mean? How do you go down? So the Shulchan Aruch breaks it down. You saw this inside and says that a person should give, he says he should give, up to chomesh nechasav, up to a fifth of his atzets. That would be, says the Shulchan Aruch, a mitzvah min ahamuvchar. That would be a very beautiful kiyum ha-mitzvah. Sounds like it's not necessarily an obligation, strictly speaking, to give 20% of your money to this poor person. But ideally, if you could, you would give that much. Otherwise, a tenth, otherwise meiser, a tenth of a person's assets would be a reasonable gift to tzedakah for such a poor individual. That's a good question. We're not going to get into the details of how to calculate. That's, you know, each of these things would be a shir in of itself. We're talking about assets only because we're assuming there are no earnings right now. Once we talk about earnings, we'll say it's a little bit of a distinct measurement. But you're correct that you have to make that calculation separately.
Even if you paid master on that already?
Correct. This shaila has to be asked every time. The answer might be different depending on how much money you've given to the tzedakah this year. But the question has to be asked every time. How much does the ani need and how much can I provide for him? So the Ramah here, that's the, for us, the Ashkenazi equivalent of what we just read in the Mechaber. So the Ramah comments, he chimes in over here on the Shulchan Aruch. You have it in the bold, in source number one, Hagav means that it's a footnote, which is the Ramah's commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Va'al yivazvez adam yoyseh mechaymesh. Says the Ramah, however, a person should not be mevazvez. We're going to translate that now as spend, although if you wanted to translate it literally, it would mean to waste. Menachem in the back of the room actually pointed out during the learning time as well. Mevazvez means really to waste, but we'll translate it as spending for now. If we have time, we'll come back to it. Al yevazvez adam yoser mechomesh, again in the bold in number one, shelo yitzarech lebrios. Don't spend. Don't give away more than one-fifth of your money, lest you become poor yourself, lest you become impoverished through that overextending of yourself, through being excessive in your giving up tzedakah. Where does this come from? Such a new halacha. The Shulchan Aruch didn't quote it. Where did he make this up from? So it's not made up. It's a Gemara in Ksubis. You have in source number two. The Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Nun tells us, Be'usha Hiskinu, in a place called Usha. Usha was one of the earliest places that the Sanhedrin moved. This is actually significant to this Gemara. We don't have time to get into it now. But Usha is one of the first two communities that the Sanhedrin moved to when the Sanhedrin was Nizgala, when it was, not Nizgala, when it was put into Galus, before the Churban. So it was moved to outside of Yerushalayim. So it went to Yavne, Usha, Yavne again. So this is one of the Gilgulim, one of the places that it ended up. The Sanhedrin had functioned for 100 years or so, even post-Churban, the Sanhedrin. So they were in Usha. So in Usha Heskinu, that's why it was there. But Usha Heskinu, they established in this place called Usha, Hamivazdes al yevazvez yoser mechomesh. Rashi fills in a blank over here and says, what does it mean, ha-mevazvez? It means le'aniyim. It means don't give your money away to poor people more than a fifth, more than 20% of your money. The Gemara proceeds to tell us a story about Rabbi Yeshevav. Apparently, Rabbi Yeshevav wanted to give away way more than a fifth. He wanted to give so much money to tzedakah, more than a fifth of his money. And Rabbi Kiva, the other Tana, wouldn't allow him to do so. He said, Rabbi Yeshevav, that's too much. You can't be maflik. You can't be so exaggerated in your giving of tzedakah. Mikra, what's the pasuk? How do we know? What's the source? Which is the question we ask, right? What's the source of this halacha? Ha-mevazvez al-yevazvez yoyser mechaymesh, that you shouldn't give more than a fifth of money to tzedakah. Says the Gemara, it's a pasuk by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, v'chol asher titein li, aser asrenu lach. Everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you give to me, aser means, I will tithe, eser. Asrenu, which means, I will tithe, eser. Lach, to you. There it's to Hashem, but the Gemara learns it as an additional level of interpretation to mean to tzedakah. So I'll take everything you give me and split it into two tenths. What's two tenths? A tenth and then a tenth. Two tenths, so you split it in half, would be a fifth. So the Gemara learns from here that aser, asrenu lach, means that there's some sort of idea of giving a fifth of money to tzedakah. However, that's not exactly what the Gemara said, correct? The Gemara said, what's the rule? You cannot exceed. You can't give more than a fifth of your money, 20% of your money to tzedakah. We'll see how that pasuk plays into it, b'li neder mirtz Hashem, quite soon. One question that arises, if you learned this Gemara during the preparation time, one question that arises over here is this an isser? Is this a rabbinic injunction? Are they saying it's usser, it's forbidden to spend that much money on tzedakah? You cannot, you may not, you are not allowed to spend 20% of your money giving to tzedakah, or is it something different? Is the Gemara saying, Eitza tova kamash malan, it's good business advice. If you want to stay afloat, if you don't want to become an ani yourself, you don't want to become impoverished and make this an endless cycle of kicking the can down the road, that you're poor, then he's poor, then he's poor, so don't give away 20% or 21% of your money, give away 19 or 20 flat of your money, but don't give away more than that. Is that an isser? Or is that actually just a good piece of advice? So anyone have any suggestions of that? It sound like an isser? Sound like a good piece of advice? Why do you say that? Excellent. So the test might be something else. The test might be something else. Even if I give within the limits that the halacha allows me to give, it's still a challenge. If I only, speaking personally, I know that 10% is a nice number to hit. It's very difficult for me to give 10% of my money away. Every person is different. I mean, feelings-wise, it's difficult to part with any amount of money. Even though that's a limitation on how much I'm supposed to give, even if I was only allowed to give 10%, it would still be hard for me to give 5, 6, 7, 8, 9%. So you could test Hashem by passing your bechina, giving the tzedakah, and asking Hashem to pay you back on that. It doesn't mean that you test Hashem by overextending. So the truth is, if you look in the Gemara, it says, Hiskinu.
It all depends on how much money you make.
It for sure depends. We'll get to that, Blina, there, yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. So first of all, the first hint should be, the Gemara says, Be'usha, you look exactly like my brother. Yeah, scratching your forehead. It's really throwing me off. Like literally exactly like my brother. I got to take a picture afterwards. I keep getting, I keep thinking, is he surprising me and I didn't notice and I should say something. It's very, very, very strange. He's a good guy. Honestly, he doesn't listen to my shirim. He's like an okay guy. So the first hint is the Gemara says, Be'usha Hiskinu. The Gemara says that they were misake. And misake means there was an enactment. There's a halach over here. Chazal said, you may not, al yevazvez, you may not give more than a chomesh. This is a discussion in the postgame of Moshe Feinstein in his Truvis Igros Moshe, Yaradeh, Chelik Aleph, and Simon Kuf, Mem Gimel, writes about this, and he proves from a Gemara later on. We're going to come to the Gemara soon, Bli Neder, it's a Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Samach Zayin and Beis. The Gemara says that one of the other, I don't remember if it was a Tana or an Amora, was on his deathbed, he was passing away, and at that moment he decided that he's going to give away 50%, half of his money to tzedakah. You'll see why soon, but he decided he's going to give away half his money to tzedakah. So the other guy who was sitting by his bedside, or maybe it was, I guess it was the Gemara itself, sorry, asks, what are you talking about, give away half your money? Look, 17 blot earlier, the Gemara said, you're not allowed to do that. How is he giving away half of his money to tzedakah on his deathbed? So the Gemara gives an answer to this, but the point that Rav Moshe draws out is that you see from here very clear, black on white, that what? Chazal understood this to be an isser. You're not allowed to overextend. You're not allowed to give more. The reason, we already mentioned, is because it's counterintuitive. If you give away 30, 50, 40, 100% of your assets, you'll be poor. So why would it be irresponsible with your money in order to help another guy? It's just going to make the problem worse or equal for the rest of the country, the rest of the nation as well. So that's what the Rabbi Moshe Feinstein assumes in his Tshuvas. However, if you look in the Yerushalmi, you have it on your source sheet in source number 3. The Gemara Yerushalmi has a little bit of a different telling of the story, a little bit of a different impression you get from the Yerushalmi. Be'usha Nimnu. So you have the same place, so it's clearly referencing the same historical point. But Be'usha Nimnu, they decided. Sheyehe Adam Mafrish Chomesh Minachasav LeMitzvah. Someone translate for me. In Usha, they decided that.
You should
one-fifth.
That you should give one-fifth. Is that the same as the Bavli? How is it different? Exactly. The Bavli set a limitation. The Bavli said, do not give more than one-fifth. The Yerushalmi says, give a fifth. Like there's a rule that you have to give a fifth. Those are two different statements. It is not necessarily a contradiction, a stira. We could be told, give exactly 20%. But the two cases, Bavli and Yerushalmi, are representing two sides of that proverbial coin. So what is going on? How do you put these all together? The Bavli, the Yerushalmi, is there a mitzvah? Is there an iser? Is there more? Is there less? How do you put it all together? So there's basically two main, there are others, but there are two main approaches in the poskim. I don't think it's on the sheet, but if you look in the Beis Yosef in Siman Reish Mem Tes, which is the Siman we began with, you don't have it on the sheet. The Beis Yosef quotes a Rambam, the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Matnos Aniyim. The Rambam has Hilchos Taka in Matnos Aniyim, which is would seem, you know, strangely placed only because it's in Sefer Nizraim, on all the halachos of the fruits of the land, Trumos, Maisros, Peya, things of it, Bikurim, things of that nature, but it makes a lot of sense because Matnos Aniyim is sort of the a paradigmatic form of tztaka. So in that context, the Rambam talks about Hilchos Taka. It's also advantageous because Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zichron Lebracha, didn't really, I mean, we have some stuff since then, but he didn't write an extensive commentary on the main parts of the Rambam. He chose the more off-the-beaten path parts of the Rambam. So he wrote on Hilchos Zrayim, sorry, on Sefer Zrayim, beautiful, unbelievable works called Derech Emunah. It's impossible to learn Zrayim without using Derech Emunah. He wrote a little bit on Kachim, didn't finish his project, but we wouldn't have had a Sefer by him on Hilchos Taka if not for that. Now we have tons of Psukim from Chaim Kanievsky quoting the Chaznish, quoting the Stipler on Hilchos Taka. So there in Matnos Aniyim Perek Zayin, the Rambam writes that there is a mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Sounds familiar? We saw them in the Shulchan Aruch, right? There's a mitzvah min ha-muvchar. There's an ideal sense, an ideal form of performance of this mitzvah if a person will give a fifth of their money to tzedakah. So the Beis Yosef says, what mitzvah min ha-muvchar? I have a Gemara Bavli that says you can't give more than that, but where's the mitzvah min ha-muvchar? So says the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Kairo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, which is why he came out with this psak in his Shulchan Aruch. He says, no, you have to put the two sources together. It's not a stira, they're not at odds with each other, but rather they collaborate, they jive, they come together very nicely, they dovetail the two sources as one complete sentence. How so? So the Beis Yosef says, they have to read it like this. The Gemara Bavli tells us that you cannot exceed, there's an iser to exceed, a logical iser to exceed 20%, one-fifth of your money, to tzedakah. However, the Yerushalmi fills in the blank and says, and that's the target, that is the highest form. If you're able to give that much, you should give the maximum amount of tzedakah. So if you put the two together, we are saying, please, if you can, give up to, but not more than, 20% of your money to tzedakah. Some people can't give 20%. Some people, we'll see soon, might be exceptions to the rule. But that's the starting point, is that there's a mitzvah min ha-muvchar. An ideal way of doing this mitzvah would be to give 20%, but never should you exceed that 20%, the Bavli fills in the blank for the Yerushalmi at the end. However, that's the Beis Yosef. The Chafetz Chaim is the famous for writing the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. That's why we call him the Chafetz Chaim. But he also wrote a whole bunch of other svarim. He's a pretty prolific author in his time. He wrote about things specifically that were relevant to his generation, which is what one of the things that makes him so special. He also wrote the Mishnah Berurah. When there were soldiers that were being, Jews that were being drafted to the Geisha armies, so he wrote a sefer that was relevant to Jewish soldiers in an army. He was a person who was answering the shilohs of the day by spreading out sometimes pamphlets, but also a svarim. We have Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim. We have a whole bunch of svarim from the Chafetz Chaim. So one of them that's very important is called Ahavas Chesed. Ahavas Chesed is broken up, I would say, like largely into two parts. The first part deals a lot with the issues of interpersonal relationships when it comes to schiris poilim. So paying you for your work, lo salin batalin, you know, not to leave over payment and not pay you in due time. You know, things that go between a babysitter and a house owner, you have to pay people in the proper way. So he deals a lot with that in Ahavas Chesed and Chelek Aleph. Chelek Beis deals, at least predominantly, significantly, with the halachos of tzedakah. So there, in Chelek Beis, in Perek Yud Tes, the 19th Perek, so the Chafetz Chaim writes in a footnote, he says another approach to put together the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. He says they're talking about two different cases. They don't complete each other's sentences, but they're talking about two different cases. The Bavli is saying that when there is a person's going around and he's looking, where can I give tzedakah? He's asking around. This happens sometimes, right? Someone comes to you and says, you know any good tzedakahs I made? I did good this year in business. He didn't do good in vocabulary because or grammar. He did well. But he did good in business at least. So he did good in business this year and he wants to spread the wealth. He wants to share the wealth with some tzedakah. He says, you know any good tzedakah opportunities? There's no pauper in front of him. There's no poor person who's knocking on his door. He wants to know where to find money to give tzedakah. Says the Bavli, sure, great idea. Big mitzvah. Don't do more than 20%. However, says the Chafetz Chaim, comes to Yerushalmi and says, if there's a guy knocking on your door, he's famished, he has no clothing, he's dressed raggedly, he can't have water for a shower, whatever, he doesn't have an apartment, there he's all stuck, he's an ani bifanecha, he's mamish in front of you crying to save him, begging for his life, then you should give 20% to the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi is talking about a case where you have someone in front of you who needs the money and asks for it. There, the Yerushalmi recommends 20% is the right amount. However, the Bavli was saying when there's no poor person in front of you, then there was this takana not to give more than 20%. We didn't answer the question of whether you're allowed to give more than 20% to the poor person in front of you. That you have to wait a little bit longer on to see if that's true or not. But B'li Neder Mirza Hashem, we will get there. With that, the Chavetz Chaim explains a very curious line. The Vilna Gaon left a letter to his family called Alim Betrufa. We have it. It was a Musar Shmuz that he gave to his family. It was like an ethical will of sorts. And he told his family how he wants them to conduct themselves after his passing from this earthly world. So in that context, the Vilna Gaon says to his family, make sure you never forget to always give 20% of your money to tzedakah. Whoa, 20% of your money to tzedakah? Why? Up to 20%, not more than 20%. Well, why do I have to give exactly 20%? So the Chavetz Chaim writes in a footnote over here, he says, no, now I understand the Vilna Gaon's letter. Because the Vilna Gaon was saying, you live in Vilna, or wherever he thought his family was going to end up living after he was gone. There's always an Anei B'Panecha. There's always a poor person knocking on the door. Make sure not to give less than 20% to such a person. Why? Because he was learning this Yerushalmi as complimenting the Bavli in that way, that a person should make sure to take care of an Anei B'Panecha, someone who comes to you and approaches you and needs the money, by paying them 20% of their assets, of their money, of their earnings, to help support this poor individual. It is true if you continue in the Yerushalmi, you have some of it snipped on the page over here, but if you continue in the Yerushalmi, it's clear that the Yerushalmi also has an upper limit, and probably a similar upper limit, but it's not 100% clear, because the Yerushalmi does quote the story of Hamavazvez Alivazvez Yosem Chomesh afterwards. So you have to figure out if the Yerushalmi retracted, if the Yerushalmi has a different limit, you have to really put all the pieces together, but these are the basics how the Poskim approach that seeming discrepancy between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. This klal that we've been talking about until now is raised in the context of tzedakah. We didn't make that up. Rashi told us it's matanos la'aniyim. The Gemara made it very clear that we were talking about tzedakah. They wanted to give their money to tzedakah. You can't give that much money to tzedakah. Shema ye'ani. You don't want to become a baal anios who now needs a tzedakah. Tzedakah is only one mitzvah. There's 612 other mitzvahs. I don't know how many there are for Sephardim. 700, whatever. There's some amount of other mitzvahs that are in the Torah. So tzedakah, fine. You can't give more than a 20%. I hear. What about other mitzvahs? So it's interesting. We're not going to go into this too far, but the Rishonim, the Rashi and Bava Kama, the Rambam and Hilchas Arachin, both of them comment that the truth is that it applies to all mitzvahs essay, all positive commandments. The Rama writes this in two places that I'm aware of. Hilchos in Orachaim, Hilchos Lulav and Esrog, Tafresh Nun Vav. And in Yoredeya, the Rama writes in Simon Kuf Nun Vav. I always forget if it's Kuf Nun Vav or Kuf Nun Zayin, wherever the sugyas of Yehereg Layavo are. Anyone know? Kuf Nun Vav, Kuf Nun Zayin. One of those two. So the Rama writes in both places that Hamavazvez Al Yavazvez Yosem Yechomish, you can't spend more than a fifth of your money, 20% of your money, on not only tzedakah, but all mitzvahs esse, which means if someone offers you the most nice sukkah in the world, you shouldn't be spending 40% of your money on that sukkah, on that, more likely an esrog is usually 40% of our money. There's also other dinim to discuss. Maybe the Rabbanim here can talk about it at a different time, which is how much money a person should spend on hiddur mitzvah. This is a Gemara in Bava Kama in the first parak, Daf Tes. The Gemara suggests that a person should only spend up to a third of their money on hiddur mitzvah. The Gemara then qualifies what exactly that means, a third this way, a third that way. But basically, you know, the difference between, I'm not a math person, so you'll work with me here, but if it's you could get a $20 esrog, or you can get the more mahudur one for
500.
Well, that 500 would definitely be the real case, but a fake case where it's less than that, a third plus that, a third of five. Let's do a $30 esrog, or you can get a $40 esrog. So then you would get the $40 esrog, a third more to spend on hiddur mitzvah. But if they're going to charge you for $100, that you get the esrog that has its temani and it has a pitum, and if you want, it loses its pitum in the right time and it has air conditioning on it, you get the, for the spitz, it's the esrog for $200. That's not proper to spend more money on the hiddur mitzvah. So you have to figure out those parameters separately. What the Ramah says there in Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, Kuf Nun Vav, whatever it is in your day, the Ramah says this is only true about positive commandments, meaning if you want to spend more money to do a mitzvah, you spend up to a fifth. What if someone says, give me all your money or violate an isser, do something that's usser? Then the Ramah says, Im yitain ishes kol hon beso, the Pasuk in Shir Hashim says, Im yitain ishes kol hon beso, b'ahava b'ez yavozu lo. The Gemara understands that to mean, the Rishonim understand that to mean, that if a person was confronted with the challenge that they should either lose their job or violate an isser, they should give up all their money in order to avoid doing an isser. So it's a distinction, it's a difference between positive commandments and negative commandments. One interesting note, by the way, Abam Kasha, the Achronim asked, is when it comes to Hilchos Tzedakah, is that a mitzvah essay, a positive commandment, or a mitzvah losay, a negative commandment? It's give tzedakah, positive, and Lo sikbot, lo sa'amis labavcha, exactly, right? You can't hold back. I saw someone once said, lo sikbot, don't be a monkey. Okay, but the losikvot literally means you can't hold back, you can't close your hand and not give to the ani. Los ames levavcha or es levavcha. You can't close your heart and harden your heart to a person who needs the money. So there's a lav, there's an isser also when it comes to tzedakah. So whoa, hamivazvez alivazvez yosim mechomosh. Don't spend more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah. As a positive commandment, tzedakah is a positive commandment. They should only spend up to 20%. Whoa, but it's also a los say. If someone says don't give tzedakah, or I should say the other way, if someone says I need all your money for tzedakah, if you don't do it, you're violating the isser of tzedakah. So that's a kasha. I'm sorry?
By the guy asking, is it
sin also? Yeah, lo sedar, correct. Not to, I blink on the psukkim over here, but lo.
So should you?
I mix up the one about the dayanim and tzedakah, but you shouldn't turn away a pauper, correct. So what the achronim here say is that it's true that there's a lav and an essay, but they're tethered, they're tied together. So anytime that the Gemara says there is no positive commandment, that means there's no negative commandment. Meaning, the isser to not give tzedakah means to not keep the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. If there's no mitzvah of giving tzedakah, there's no isser of not giving tzedakah. A longer discussion for another time, yeah.
Just a quick question.
That's how they all start.
When Moshe was asking for assistance with Aaron, was there a minimum and a maximum of how much people could help him?
I don't know the answer if they employed the regular hochus tzedakah over that. I don't know.
But my question is, what is the direct source of tzedakah?
Like, of tzedakah?
Yeah.
Of psukim in Parshas Re'eh. Psukim Parshas Re'eh. We have a multitude of psukim. To not allow a poor person to exist in the world, take care of them, to give tzedakah, to not hold back. That was the Gemara quoted, a pasuk by Yankov Avinu, a drasha, an esmachta more, from Yankov Avinu, that he said, Aser Asranu Lach, and that was the Chomesh, yeah. We mentioned that the rule, the reason, the tam behind, the logic behind this isser of not giving more than a chomesh, a 20% tzedakah, is why? Because it's counterintuitive, it's silly, it's cyclical. What's going to happen? Circular. What's going to happen? I'm going to give 50% of my money to tzedakah, now I'm going to be poor. You're going to have to give 50% of your money to me, and now you're going to be poor, and we're just going to keep giving money back and forth. You have a din like that, by the way. On Purim, the Gemara says that on Purim, there's a mitzvah of matanos l'avyonim. So the Gemara assumes that you could have michlefi su desayu, that you could have two poor people just give each other meals in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. That's different because it's a mitzvah of the day of Purim to give tzedakah. Here it's silly. Let he has to go to more people to collect. Fine, but why should I become poor? It's counterintuitive to create more poverty. That's what the Gemara and the Rashi had spelled out. The reason really was. The Ramah quoted it as we saw before. What's interesting is that reasoning actually does lead to practical differences, practical nafkaminas in the halacha as well. So you have two of them on your sheet in source number 4 and 5. We'll go in order. So the Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Samach Zayin, we referenced it earlier, says Mar Ukva was on his deathbed, and as he was laying there, he said, pull out the ledgers. Maybe he was like Achashverosh. He's having trouble sleeping, so he said, I want someone to read me my tzedakah stories. So he said, pull out the ledgers. It wasn't really that. He was trying to make an accounting, a cheshbon and nefesh before death. So he said, pull out the ledgers. Mar Ukva. So he pulled out the ledgers, and he said, how much tzedakah have I given? So they said, you gave 7,000 whatever, sinare, I guess I cut it off over here on the sheet, sinakre dinrim, something like that, some sort of currency from back in the days of the Talmud. I gave 7,000 pieces of money to tzedakah. So he said, oh, that's a small amount of tzedakah. It's scant provisions for a long journey. I'm about to try to get the Shemayim to Olam Haba. I need a lot of mitzvos at my side. I didn't give enough tzedakah. And he says, I pledged half of my money to tzedakah. That's what we mentioned the story earlier, correct? So the Gemara says, how could you do that? 50% is more than 20% last I checked. So how could you give more than 20% to tzedakah? Says the Gemara, no. It's different over here. Why is it different?
He's dead.
And therefore what?
Poor.
We're not really worried about him being poor anymore, right? If he gives away all his wealth, okay, he doesn't need his wealth tomorrow. He's not going to be impoverished. He's giving away his money at the last second. Truth is, you have to time it then, right? You can't give it away now and say, everyone's dying, so I'm dying. No, it has to be in your will at time of death, or it's on his deathbed in this case. That would make sense, says the Gemara. It's a nafkamina to the rule that we said before. And the Rama quotes this, Lalacha, you have it back in source number one. Is there any problem?
How did the Gemara ask the question of the rabbi earlier?
The Gemara always asks, it pries, it tries to understand. The Gemara is asking, wait, Yalamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us, how is it possible you did that? And he gives an answer.
I said, what about his wife and his children?
Excellent. So there is not only an ethical problem with that, a moral problem with that, but there's also a halachic issue. The Shulchan Aruch says in Chosh Mishpat Reish Pei Beis that there's an isser of being ma'avir nachla, that you're not allowed to disinherit, you're not allowed to take away, remove the inheritance from family members. So you have a person, we have to be careful here because my parents do listen to the shiurim, unlike my brother. There is an isser, I want to say this clearly if the recording picked it up, there is certainly an isser to remove inheritance, to not give inheritance to your children. The Shulchan Aruch says that. So Mar Ukva, very good, he had a ptur, he had a heter, he had a leniency in Hilchos Tzedakah, that's all fine and good, but what about his children? He's taking away all the nachla, all the inheritance from the heirs to his Yerusha. So in that, because of that, the poskim deal with, we're not going to get into it now, just in the interest of time, but the poskim deal with the question of how much money a person has to leave to his inheritors in order to not violate this iser. The Aruch HaShulchan suggests here in Hilchos Taka that half is the right amount. Others, the Rabbi Kiva Eger on the side of the page here quotes from the She'iltos that a third is the right amount. He must have had a different gears on our Gemara. Our Gemara said half, but he says a third. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, my Rebbe, Rav Shechter Shlita, made this known to me over the years. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva, he reconsiders in a different tshuva, but in one tshuva he writes that he thinks $1,000 is enough to leave to each Yoresh, each heir, each person that takes over, fills your place and remains in the world, is entitled to $1,000 minimally. Rav Shechter likes to point out, rightfully, that tshuva was written in the 1940s. $1,000 would not really get you so far in today's current situation, so therefore the number has to be adjusted. What it's adjusted to, that's worth discussing with a posik, if anyone has the shayla, but it's obviously significantly more than 1,000. Again, I'll repeat this just for people listening at home. That is obviously more than 1,000, mom and dad. So that's one nafkamina, that a person would be able to give away all their money, a lot of their money, however much money, to avoid the sister of inheritance at the end of their life, because they're not going to become poor. It's not an issue. That's one nafkamina. We're a little short on time, unless it's critical to understanding. Okay. We're supposed to end what, in 3 minutes? Okay. Bli neder. So the other exception that comes directly out of this reasoning is the exception of Ashir Muflag, the poskim talk about. The Chafetz Chaim quotes this in the Sefer Ahavas Chesed. In Ahavas Chesed, he quotes a Chachmas Adam, who says this as well, that it's another logical exemption. I think it was brought up earlier in this year. If a person has, $100,000 to their name, so giving $25,000 to tzedakah is going to really hurt them in their wallet, in their bank account. That's not reasonable. They're going to become poor if they give away 25% of their money. Let's say a person has $100 billion to their name, Giving away 20% of that, it's a great gift. We'll take it. We'll name something after you in the kolo. But you're not gonna have less stake. Anyone? I just saw some people. It looked like more interest than laughing in some faces. We'll talk after. It's not going to remove any. You're going to have a steak dinner tonight too, right? If you have $1 billion and you give away... What's 20% of a billion?
200 million.
200 million. So you give away 205 million. You're going to still go to Pat's and have yourself a fine dinner tonight. It's not going to be a problem. Don't worry about it. So if someone's an usher muflag, they're so wealthy that it's not going to hurt them to give away more. Then 20% doesn't apply to them. They should keep giving and giving until it's unreasonable, until it's illogical to give more money to tzedakah. I have a Rebbe I mentioned before of Herschel Schechter. So it's well known that he gives away significantly more than 20% of his money to tzedakah. And people have asked him in the past, and he's mentioned this in Shirim as well. He says, I'm an Asher Muflag. Now, just so you know what he means by that, he's been a Rebbe in the yeshiva for the past, 60 years. It's not exactly a high-paying salary. He lives in an apartment in Washington Heights. He's not, hoarding tons of money in some offshore account. He calls himself an Asher Muflag because he doesn't need anything. He feels like this world is ephemeral, is fleeting, and he's able to live on much less. So what does he need already? So he gives it all away to Aniyim. That's certainly a high darga, a high level, but he's a tzaddik yisod olam, my Rebbe. So he likes to say he's an Asher Muflag. How to define it is very difficult. Whether it's a billion, 100 billion, 5 billion, I don't know how to define an Asher Muflag. A person has to figure out what makes sense for each person that makes them feel wealthier and feel more impervious to the issues of giving away more than 20%. A person will figure that out, obviously, on their own. The Chafetz Chaim just makes a note where he says that it's nice to talk about giving away 20% of your money to tzedakah, but he sees something else. He sees people giving away 20% of their money to buy a new car, to buy another new car, to buy a bigger house. It's funny the Chafetz Chaim even could think of all these things. The Chafetz Chaim lived in a one-bedroom house in Radin that was built from mud, and it didn't have a couch, and it had half a chair. That was all he had in his life. But he's dreaming up someone gets two cars and a horse with chariots and golden necklaces. He has all the bling. He has all the ideas of what a person could want with their money. So he said a person spends 30%, 40%, 50% of their money on luxuries. So first of all, you should learn from this halacha. You're not even allowed to do that for tzedakah. Certainly you're not allowed to do that to indulge your taivas, your desires. Secondly, the Chafetz Chaim would obviously agree that if a person's already overspending on all those luxuries, it would make sense to pay at least in kind, similarly to tzedakah. So it's not true that there's an objective rule. The richer a person is, the more he should be giving the tzedakah. And the more a person spends on his health, he should do a cheshbon nefesh internally and calculate how much more I should be giving parallel to that to tzedakah as well. We do not have time to get to the crux of the last four couple of sources on the page, but just to run through them very briefly, if you turn the page to page number 2, or I saw the way they printed it, you have it as two sides. So whatever side is the other side. So you'll see five exceptions that are listed here. We'll just briefly mention them without talking about the sources too much. Number one, the Chavetz Chaim tells us that if a person is dealing with a situation of pikuach nefesh, someone knocks on your door and they ask for money and they're starving, so much so that they're going to die if you don't give them money. Or a person, Rachman al-Tzlan, has some disease and they're not able to pay for the treatment and you're the person who can help them, that's not a case of hamevaz alivaz bezer mechomesh. That's a case of saving someone's life. Pikuach nefesh is doche all mitzvos and all isurim except for three, and therefore the iser of hamevaz v'leivaz v'yosem echomesh would not apply in the case of pikuach nefesh. Again, more to be said, but for now we'll leave it at that. Exception number two. You have a Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef is coming off of also a Rambam and Perish Mishnayis, where both of them basically say that we mentioned before. There's a distinction between two types of cases. Sometimes you're looking for a tzedakah, you can give up to 20%, but sometimes someone asks for the money b'fanecha. He's not dying, but he asks for the money. He's a poor person on your doorstep. In such a case, the Perish Mishnayis and the Rambam, he spells out, and the Birkei Yosef says la halacha. The Chavetz Chaim quotes it as well, that in such a case, you are allowed to exceed 20%. Someone really needs the money and they're asking for it, you are allowed to. You don't have to. You're not required to go above 20%. 20% makes sense. However, it's a midas chasidus. It's a nice thing to do. It's a high level of piety to give 21%, 22%, 30%, whatever you're able to do for that person would be an exception to the rule as well. Again, that's a question that has to be dealt with a personal case in terms of how it affects you.
Everybody's asking for tzedakah is needy. So how can you tell me that this is needy and he needs it?
No. It's the difference between people probably see my house and my lack of car, and they don't knock on my door all that often for tzedakah. So I don't have an ani b'fanai so often. Sounds like they're knocking on your door more. So I'll tell them to go to you from now on. But they don't knock on my door that often. So when I'm giving tzedakah, I'm looking around. Where's the best place to get my money? Ooh, the Lighthouse has a learning program. That's a good thing to support. So I'll look for that tzedakah. If someone knocks on your door, I agree with you. Every one of them would be an exception, unless they're collecting on behalf of someone else, which is 90% of the mishulachim that you deal with that are knocking on your door. Thirdly, the poskim say, Havas Chesed, the Chavetz Chaim says that Hachzakas HaTorah, if you're supporting a Talmud Torah cause, you're supporting a Kollel, a Yeshiva, something that's a Shiurim, someone learning Kollel, Yisachar Zvulun deal, things like that, you can exceed 20% as well, because Hachzakas HaTorah always comes back to pay you back in kind. So if you pay someone to learn more Torah, that Zechus comes back to you. It's more of a business deal. You're getting an advantage from it, and therefore the Chavetz Chaim says that too would be an exception. The fourth one over here, the Baal HaTanya says something absolutely fascinating. He says this whole rule of Hamizvazvez, Alivazvez, Yosem Chomesh only applied when people were sin-free. If you didn't do any averos, so you should only give a certain amount of tzedakah. But once we're doing averos all the time, a kapara, it's like getting a korban. Tzedakah is like a karban. You want to get a kapara, an atonement for your sins, give more and more tzedakah, you could exceed 20%. It sounds like a Shabbos Shuvah drasha, sounds unbelievable. Some of the posts can actually quote this from the Baal Tanya. More to say about that as well, but again, we're rushing as we get to the end of this year. Lastly, and we'll end with this, number five. You found it in the Achronim, but we're not going to talk about it inside. Menachem noted earlier, I mentioned to you before, that the Lashon in the Gemara, the words in the Gemara, is Hamevazvez al Yevazvez Yosem Yechomesh. We used the word spending before, but what does Hamevazvez literally translate as? Wasting. So the Chaznish and others said, a person is only in violation of this rule of Hamevazvez al Yevazvez Yosem Yechomesh if they look at their tzedakah as a bizbuz, as wasting. If a person realizes the eternal value of tzedakah, they realize that tzedakah is an investment, that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, aser b'shvil shetezasher, that the truth is that if you give in enough tzedakah money, you'll get rich off of the tzedakah money. If you look at tzedakah as a zchus, as a merit, and not as a burden, then the whole rule might not apply to you as well. Again, there are cases of this there. The tzaddikim actually live by that rule. Whether it's applicable to you, I would consult a rabbi beforehand, and you'd probably want to work in the asher muflad part as well, because you want to make sure you're taken care of. You can never go to a point where it's illogical and irresponsible. That's chas v'shalom, it's a terrible thing to do. But assuming all those things are there, those factors are there, tzedakah should never be a bizbuz, it should never be a waste. It should be something we take great pride in doing. Sharon told me that we learn here every Wednesday, and it's a very inspiring thing. But ein in kemach ein Torah. That's true in a kollel. It's also true if you want to serve lunch. So if you don't have flour or the money to buy the flour, so you're not going to be able to keep learning. So it's important that the chevra who take part in this amazing initiative, it really is an amazing initiative, so they should also contribute. They should also take part. Remember, even if you're extending yourself right now, we all are. We're all going very far to support Talmud Torah, to support Eretz Yisrael, to support the Chayalim, to support the displaced families, to support the tzedakah institutions in our neighborhood. We're all overextending. There are limitations. A person has to be careful. But hachzakas atayra, especially if it's not going to hurt someone so much to give a couple of dollars to help keep a program like this going. So ashrecha v'ashrei, yolad techa. It's an amazing schus for you and your Italian family and all the people you have in your family, subsequently descendants, that b'siyat d'shmaya, the great tzedakah that you do, should lead to a tremendous hachzakas haTorah, harbatz haTorah, and ultimately the kiddush Hashem. Thank you very much. Amen.